B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
It's 4 o'clock hour. Mike Missinelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. The 4 o'clock hour is brought to us by Landis Block. Your one-stop shop to create a jaw-dropping outdoor paradise. Online at LandisBC.com. Sixers tonight. Flyers tonight. Tomorrow will be a very active day of analysis on both of these teams. Although the Flyers, you know, there is, I guess if they lost tonight, it wouldn't be terrible. If the Sixers lost tonight, it would be catastrophic.
It would be bad at home.
It's an 8.5-point favorite at home.
7.5.
7.5-point favorite.
It'd be bad.
Yeah, it would. All right, let's go. Charles in Germantown. Charles, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Charles.
Hey, how you guys doing?
What's up, Charles?
Hey, you know what? I'm calling about, I know I tuned in a little bit later. I tuned in more or less when you brought up the guy that was Mel Counts, and I was wondering, what is Mel Counts being talked about? And I'm like, around 62 years old after death or trivia or whatever. But nevertheless,
the guy somehow thought of Mel Counts when he thought of a jump shooting center. Now, I got to give the guy a lot of credit because that's never a guy that would ever pop into my brain. He did say Jack Sigma, which was accurate. Mel Counts, come on.
Yeah. Well, Sigma was pretty good. But
yeah, he was.
I don't recall from scoring back sometime, but I don't recall him being the offensive threat.
He was a stiff.
For a court. Yeah, well, I was putting
that. Yes.
But you know what? Did you guys talk about this JT situation with the Phillies? Were they only $2 million apart?
Yeah, JT Realmuto lost his arbitration hearing.
Yeah.
And so you're thinking the Phillies were nitpicking by actually going through with arbitration and not giving them the 12 just to save $2 million?
I just don't know if this taste in his mouth, and he acts pretty professional, seems like, on the surface. But is this really going to be something that they're going to really benefit from if they want to keep this guy? Or are they just saying, this is the amount we're paying him, and when it's time to let him go, he can go ahead and fly?
No, they're not saying that. They would be amenable to signing him to a long-term contract. The only reason I can think of is that, see, there's pressure in ownership, too, to not overpay certain positions because that makes everybody else on alert that they're going to have to pay X. So when you put a salary on the board like that, then, you know, everybody now has to abide by those type of parameters. That's the only thing I could think of where they wanted to hold fast to $10 million. And on the surface, it doesn't make sense to me or you, but to an owner and for the good of like ownership and the bond that all those guys have, you don't want to throw out frivolous money.
Oh, come on, Mike. I just don't agree
I agree with you.
And it's not that I'm a big JT fan. I mean, I give him his props being a baseball guy going as far back as, just that far back. But I'm just saying, I don't know. I know it's not my money, but you know what? I think I would have just gave him the $2 million because look what he's done, and he kind of held up the ship for what.
Well, what usually happens is they split the difference. Now the $10 million that they paid him was a high price. It was a high raise. So the way they're looking at it is like, you know, well, we're going to stop it right there because he's making more than he should have made anyway. So we don't have to owe him an extra $2 million. Usually what they do is they get the agent together. They split the difference. They go $11 million. That's not good arbitration.
Okay. One quick note.
Mm-hmm.
You guys, and I know this has been a song that we've been singing for the last couple of years with Simmons, but I think, and I listen to used to play with Jackson. I was listening to Jackson this morning, and he brought up something I've been telling people throughout the season. This team hasn't really played together, at least due to injuries consistently, but Richardson is a very, very key part of that offense. That's all I want to say.
Yeah.
And I'm just saying that could make up for that jump shot to an extent. I mind you. I agree.
He's a very good player and a very solid player and a very necessary player, but he's not a shooter.
Okay, that's another conversation another time, Mike. I know.
No, he's not a great 3-point threat. He'll make a couple. It's not like you have a lot of confidence that he's going to bury you with threes. Let's go, Chris in Williamstown. Chris, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Chris.
Mikey Miss, always a pleasure.
What's up,
when I
Chris?
Hear Theo Rettlett brought up, I mean, gosh, how many people remember the second he had under Doug Collins in the Iguodala Lou Williams years? My God, please don't bring that guy's name up ever again.
Oh, he was a but he was perfect for a Larry Brown system.
Yeah, at that time, but the, like that he came back and just didn't work the second time. Anyway, you know,
what do you mean he came back and didn't work? He was the, he was supplanted.
Yeah,
like Dikembe.
Yeah, I know.
Late Theo. Oh, okay.
Yeah, Iguodala years.
Yeah, that wasn't the prime Theo.
You know, when it comes to Ben, like, you know, I think about it this way. All the being and moaning we do in the world ain't going to change a darn thing, so people just need to get over it. The man is going to do it when he feels was ready to do it. I told him 2 years ago when they had him at Sanfest, I said, make them people pay for leaving you wide open. I see he didn't take any of that to heart because you don't care. But in saying that, though...
Well, why should we have to get over it? Why should we get over it? Well, we shouldn't get over it. We should be the more demanding.
No matter how much we complain about it, it's never going to change, Mike. He'll do it when he's ready to do it.
So what are we supposed to do? Be held hostage? We can't say anything about it?
Once he was drafted, we lost that choice, Mike.
We didn't. We can still urge. I mean, that's what we do as fans. We urge.
And how has that worked out?
Well, it doesn't make it wrong that we urge.
My only thing is, the way I feel about my Sixers and Flyers, how many days until the first game of the 2020 MLB season? That's all I'm going to say about them. Because that's what I think. We're not going to go and win anything this year with either of those two teams. I'm ready for baseball.
And you're going to win in baseball?
No, but, you know, that's something more enjoyable than watching.
Oh, it is?
Already
a baseball season that's not going to be a playoff year is going to be more enjoyable for you?
Yeah, because I know my other two teams are done already.
Oh, well, I know your standards are a little different than my standards. I'm not exactly looking forward to the baseball season to supplant this winter playoff season. That's for damn sure. So let's get some info on our Philadelphia Eagles from the man who covers the Eagles for ESPN.com. He is on the Comcast Business Hotline Beyond Fast, and his name is Tim McManus. I haven't talked to you in a while, Timmy. How you doing?
All right, Mike. It's been a while. How are you?
It has. I want to get to this report that I read. Pro Football Focus predicting the Eagles' certain free agent scores. And they had three of them. HaHa Clinton Dix was one of them. Bashaud Perryman was the other. And yes, Jason Peters was the third guy that Pro Football Focus predicted the Eagles would sign. Your thoughts?
Interesting. Yeah, I wasn't expecting you to say Peters as that last one.
Yes.
The first two make a lot of sense. Perryman in particular just seems to be a fit, both from the speed that he brings to the table, his age, he's 26. And kind of what the Eagles are looking for. And I think the price range would probably not be too exorbitant where the Eagles might fit from that perspective as well. So I can definitely see somebody like Perryman or Robbie Anderson from the wide receiver standpoint coming in. HaHa Clinton Dix would be another one where he's not too old and wouldn't be too expensive. And you'd be able to pair if you get Malcolm Jenkins back into the fold, maybe Clinton Dix and Jenkins. So I get on that one. But Peters, I think we're going to have to wait and see how that one plays out, because at some point, especially with Howie Roseman saying that they have to get younger, they're going to have to do this youth movement. They spent a first-round pick on Andre Dillard a year ago, so I'm less certain about him coming back.
All right. Let's move on to the big issue, then I'll get back to the Eagles. The new NFL CBA and the talks that are progressing towards 17-game season, 14 teams in the playoffs, the one bye, and only three preseason games. The league wants it. The Player Association, what do you think happens here?
I think that this is going to be a fascinating next 2 days, really. And the way that I'm reading this is that the NFL is kind of pushing this a little bit, where it's like, here's what it is, and here's what we're thinking, and we're meeting, and we're moving along with this. And I think that there's absolute urgency on the NFL's part, and for a couple of reasons, one being that they want to lock in some new TV rights And if they have this new CBA hammered out that has the additional games, you know, that's more money, and they get to get that ball rolling now. And also there's limitations in the final year of a CBA that kind of limits them financially when you're talking about off-season spending. So there's multiple reasons for them to be motivated to get something done. The players less so. And, you know, I did a decent amount of reporting during the course of the season, along with the rest of the NFL Nation reporters, kind of gauging how players are thinking here. And there is no doubt that the NFLPA was trying to get these guys ready for a potential lockout so that they could gain some leverage by not being as, financially unstable when they got to the point of these negotiations where they can sit toe-to-toe. And as Malcolm Jenkins put it to me, you know, we want to be partners in the business of football with the owners. They provide the field. We play on it. We should be partners. If they want to get that, they're going to have to dig in. And so this is kind of the moment of reckoning for them, because there's going to be a conversation between NFLPA heads on Friday. And if they decide they're not going to make a vote on this, or that they're going to vote no, then negotiations will probably go dead until next off season. I mean, so this is like a really significant moment as to, you know, are we stable enough? Are we fortified enough to put up this fight with billionaire owners? And I think we're going to get our answer probably this weekend.
Interesting. All right. So on the surface, you're thinking the NFLPA goes no go. So what concessions would they seek to go yes?
There's a few things that they want. Certainly a bigger slice of the revenue pie where they get closer to 50%. Would be something that they're interested in. I know that.
And right now, it's a what?
It's like 47.
Okay.
I believe the proposal is 48 to 48.5. And I believe they would like to get it to more of a 50-50 split. They also want to get closer to guaranteed contracts. And there's a holdup, and, you know, there's certain language right now in the CBA that the owners are trying to hold on to that involves the amount of, it's related to escrow. And basically, it's a provision that doesn't allow really for owners to provide guaranteed contracts, and the players are trying to get rid of that. They want more longer term health care for the guys that have played before them and for them and when they get out of the game. There's a lot of areas where they would like to get stronger in.
See, there's a really unusual give and take here, because obviously they're putting their health at risk if they agree to this. This is more football, and it's already a dangerous, violent game. So no matter what concessions they get, it almost would look like a sellout to me. If they're really care about players' health, how can they go with this?
I tend to agree with you, and I think that will be something that a lot of people will be championing for. The difficulty from Players Association standpoint is that there's just such a lack of uniformity. I mean, if you look at the amount of money that they make from player to player, it's just such a vast difference. You know, priorities are a lot different. And I think that, you know, veterans who have already made a lot of money are going to be looking at this and saying, you know, long term, we have to do better for our union. I don't want to play an extra game per season. And then you can look at some of the younger guys who will just be looking at it more in the short term and say, yeah, but if we get another game per year, that's an extra paycheck, and they're going to give us all this extra money, and I want the extra money. So there's oftentimes conflicting interests within the union, and that makes it tough to have uniformity. And that's something that I think, you know, plagued them the last time around. And if they do end up accepting this upcoming offer, I think we'll be looking at some of that as well.
Is this better for the fans? Does this make the game more exciting for fans to have the extra playoff week, to add the two teams? Or does it dilute the process to the point where it could get ridiculous with a bad team in the playoffs?
Honestly, I think it's good for fans. I think that having an extra game and reducing the preseason by one or two games, you know, that's a win. Having three wild card games, per day, is better than two. So I think that, you know, from that standpoint, like, people will get over pretty quickly. Okay, this is a little bit watered down, but I think just the draw of having more playoff football to watch will probably override that. And then also kind of the race for the number one seed becomes heightened and more important, because there's only one team per conference that's going to be getting a bye. So I think it's good for the fans, but, you know, finding where it's good for the players is a little harder.
I'm just like, I guess the fear, and Tyra and I were talking about this, that you get a 6-10 team in there. You get, you know, 7-9, and we've seen 7-9 before, but we don't respect the 7-9 team.
Yeah, and I think that'll be probably good, you know, talk for that week.
Yeah.
But I think people are still going to sit down and watch the thing, you know?
Yeah, I agree with it. Let's roll back to the Eagles now and what they may do and what you're hearing and the draft and all that. And the rumors were that Stephon Diggs was a target. What do you have on that?
It seems from, you know, my counterpart in Minnesota, Courtney Cronin, has been pointing out the fact that there's really no incentive for the Vikings to get rid of Diggs. And so I don't know. It seems like every offseason or chance you get, you know, Diggs will maybe make a little bit of a fuss or a move or delete Instagram posts, something small like that. But I don't know that he's going to get moved. And so I would probably look more towards, you know, the draft, number one, at wide receiver. It's supposed to be an historic class, as full as it's ever been of talent and depth. And so I think that they're going to be using probably multiple picks on wide receiver. And then also I think that they can fill it in with a free agent as opposed to having to go the trade route with somebody like a Perriman or like an Anderson, somebody like that.
Now, would they be inclined to move up to get a better wide receiver? Or do you think this class is deep enough where they just sit and grab one? Because it looks like Diggs is the top choice.
Yeah,
Riggs.
Yeah,
Diggs.
Right. Yeah. Riggs. Well, I think it sort of depends.
Ruggs.
How it falls.
Diggs
where
in
they
my
think
head. Ruggs.
The different levels are, right, Mike. So
yes.
Like if they believe that there's this number one tier and they're all going to be going off the top 15, then Roseman does have some flexibility in the fact that he's projected to have 10 draft picks heading in, and you can move up, and you definitely don't want to be left empty handed if you feel like you have somebody. You know, that's clearly like, this is the guy. And so that would be, that would all depend on how they see kind of that first round shaking out.
All right. So are we looking at a replenishment at wide receiver primarily and cornerback, or will they leave corner alone and try to get a Chris Harris?
I think that cornerback is going to come during the free agency period. Mm-hmm. It's hard to envision them saying, we'll just rely on a couple guys, a couple rookies to hold down these slots. I mean, right now they don't have any of their starting cornerbacks under contract. I think that they'll probably try to bring Jalen Mills back, but you have another starting corner that you're going to need to account for. So I wouldn't be surprised if they go after somebody like Byron Jones, honestly.
Wow.
I think that there's some legitimacy to that. I don't know that they end up with him, but I think that he's a name that they're going to be looking into. And there's a couple other decent players out there as well, like Logan Ryan and James Bradbury, Trey Waynes, that they can be looking at. So I do feel like they're going to fill one of those needs in free agency.
All right, so combine coming up when?
Next week.
Next week.
So it starts on Sunday, runs through Monday.
Will you be there?
I will not be in Indianapolis. They're holding me out for the owners' meeting.
Okay, all right. You'll be able to watch it.
In real time.
Exactly right. All right, Terry. Good stuff, man. We'll talk to you.
All right, Mike. Always a pleasure.
Tim McManus on the Comcast Business Hotline. Beyond Fast. All right. So there we go.
Interesting. Makes sense. They haven't had a lot of success drafting corners. At this point, just sign one.
To take the corners, like, now you're gun shy. Can you draft a corner that's good enough to start because you need a starter?
Right. No, probably not.
And probably you can't.
Probably get Mills again, like he said. You sign somebody else and then you use Maddox in the slot. It's probably what they do.
Yeah. Mel Counts is haunting me. You know, he actually played several games with an awful Sixers team.
He
in 1972-73, was that the thing that only won 9 games? Or was that the year before?
Oh.
Was that the bad team? It was. It was the 9-73 team.
And he was on that team?
He played on
Steve
that
Steve Mix
team.
Was on that team too, right?
Oh, my God. I'm looking at Fred Carter.
Yeah, he was.
Averaged 20.
Yeah, he'd get buckets.
For that squad.
So people told me he could get buckets in his day.
Yeah, well, I remember the old Baltimore Bullets.
He played with
Earl Monroe. This team was so awful. Oh my God. Bill Bridges, Fred Carter, Leroy Ellis, Tom Van Arsdale, John Block, Kevin Lockery, Freddie Boyd was their draft pick. Mel Counts, 7 games, 1.4 points.
Who?
Off the bench. All right, we have a couple of open lines, so now's a great time to get in. 610-632-0975. Oh, poor Hal Greer. That was his last year. It was a sad tale for Hal. Rarely played, 5.6 points, and he wouldn't retire. Sad ending for Hal. It's the Mike Missinelli Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, it is 4:30. It's time to get a Twitter poll update from Tyler Julie, who is in today for Natalie in Hollywood. And it's brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. Tyler?
So, Phillies manager Joe Girardi said today that the MLB punishments won't be a deterrent to cheat. So we asked, what should they have done? Suspend the players, vacate the World Series, postseason ban, or all of the above? Just under 1,100 votes. All of the above still leads the way with 48%. Suspend the players, 21%. Vacate the World Series, 17%. And a postseason ban at 14%.
All righty. Thank you very much. By the way, 3 o'clock hours brought to us by Court Police Bakery in Delhi. World-famous tomato pie and hoagie party trays. Every bit is good. 610. I did say that? All right. But anyway, I said twice. So nice I said twice. 610-632-0975. By the way, Fanatic Pro Shop is open. If you want to outfit yourself with some cool Fanatic and Philly sports swag, lots of Fanatic and Philly sports themed merch at great prices. From hoodies to long sleeve tees, mugs, caps, phone cases, tanks. What's a tank? Oh, tank top. And a lot of, I thought we actually had tanks. Like a tank.
That'd be pretty cool.
Tank of beer or something. And a lot more. Besides tanks, the Fanatic Pro Shop has something for everyone, including our lady listeners, with unique and Fanatic Philly designs. Oh, we got some lady shirts on there? All right, just go to 975thefanatic.com. Check out the Fanatic Pro Shop. It is open now. By the way, we are zeroing in on a date for the golf tournament this year.
Are we?
Yes.
That's exciting.
And it's going to be, I think, in early June.
Kind of like that.
From what you do? You like the June start?
I do kind of like the June.
June is the most friendly weather month. Although we've had great weather in May when we've done it.
We have.
June is a friendlier weather month.
I'm good with that. And it's clearer of the Sixers.
Oh, that's right. It won't interfere.
As much. Well, the only way it would interfere
Sixers
is if they
outsiders.
Make it, no, not just for the show. Because we're off that day, basically. Like, you know, we're at there. We don't.
You'll be back on Sixers Outsider tonight. It's been
no.
Long. No?
No.
Oh, it's a national game?
Yeah,
oh, man. People have been missing their Tyrone on Sixers Outsiders.
I'm not going to be back till Monday.
Oh, my God.
I know.
2 weeks with that Tyrone?
That's a lot.
Sixers Outsiders?
It's a lot for the people. the finals, they would have to make it to the NBA finals for the, if it is that early June.
Oh, so you're are you suggesting that by June the Sixers won't be playing hoop anymore?
What I'm saying is that the conference finals, I think they're getting there. I've already been on the record. So that would interact, that would cause a conflict. Uh-huh. NBA Finals, I'm not there yet. I'd have to see something. But I am at Conference Finals and losing to the Bucks. That's where I'm at right now.
Okay.
All so right. That gotcha. Would mean the Bucks move on, and now we can do the golf.
Me, I'm still in the exploratory phase.
I know.
I'm the guy on the beach with the metal detector.
Right.
Now, I got to get a bigger Geiger counter.
And I'm out on the boat.
Or Geiger count.
Yeah, I'm on the boat.
Whatever it is.
And I'm scuba diving, looking, and I'm just hoping that it's there. I'm all the way out in the sea.
Oh, you're way out in the sea?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, I'm just on the, I'm like the old man with the...
Did they ever find anything?
I don't know. I guess you can find rings and stuff.
That's like other people's stuff.
It's going to be the biggest bounty. Well, it's other people's stuff. What are you going to do? You give it back to them?
I mean, I don't know. Something that feels weird.
It's either it stays in the scene and the rest of existence, or you can turn it into something.
Yeah, I guess.
It benefits you. All right, let's go Jose in Bethlehem. Jose, you're on 97.5. What's up, Jose?
Listen, man, I was laughing from a caller that brought out that name, Milk Hound. If there is a Hall of Fame for stiffs, he'd be first out of them. I watched him when I was 12 years old, and he stunk back then.
All the old timers know about Mel Counts.
Oh, yeah, man. I reported him, ate him up in the regionals, man. I remember that. I was young. I came 13 years old watching him. I remember him on the Sixers, and he was a stiff back then.
Well, everybody was a stiff on that team. I have a vague memory of him when I was a kid as a Lakers backup center.
I haven't laughed so much since I heard that on your show, man.
Yeah, I got you.
Listen, one more thing real
yeah,
quick.
Yes.
The Ben Simmons thing with the junction and all that, you know what's going to happen in the NBA playoffs? Because the court shrinks to half court most of the time in the NBA playoffs. They're going to force Ben Simmons to shoot the ball. They're going to pack it in on the Sixers.
Oh, yeah. That's my biggest worry. Now, it's not as much half court as you think because it's a kind of a transition game now. But I hear what you're saying. When they are in the half court, they're going to defend him a certain way. He's got to have either a willingness to try to plow through that and get a foul and still get to the basket, or he can make it a lot easier on himself.
I think with him, you know, he's still a professional. You know, he's, you know, because I like Ben Simmons. But I think what he'll do, he'll show up, man. He's going to shoot that ball. He's not going to be the greatest shooter you ever saw. But he'll open it up to a little respect, and he can go inside and do his thing. That's all I have to say about that, man. Don't worry about it. They're going to be okay.
Okay, I hope you're right. Maybe I don't see the great Sixer run to the Eastern Conference Final yet. And this is why I'm in exploratory form. I get to see this particular team interact and play over these last 27 games. And then, you know, I'll know. You get a feel. If they're rolling with the way they're going to, like, change their starting lineup and their substitution pattern, having two guys who can shoot a three, you know, we'll know. Chuck, North Carolina, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Chuck.
It's snowing, Mikey Mess. It's snowing.
It's snowing in North Carolina?
Yeah, we're having a snowstorm right now.
What?
Yeah, we haven't had snow in over 700 days, and it is snowing its tail off here today.
Oh, my God. Is that coming up north?
It's supposed to. No, I think it's coming straight across. I don't know how far the extension is. It's kind of going up, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, it's not coming north because we're getting 50s temperatures over the weekend and the next week.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, well, they were calling at one model Tuesday, they were calling for 11 and a half inches of snow.
Are you ready for the snow? You got shovels and stuff?
They don't know what to do. Mike, they get an inch of snow around here.
No, I know. I'm asking if you're ready. Are you ready? You got the shovel? You got a snowblower? You got a shovel?
I got a shovel, but I mean, I lived in Alaska and northern Michigan growing up.
I get it, but you're in North Carolina now. I'm wondering if you have any gear for the snow in North Carolina.
Yes, I still have gear. Okay. I'm ready to go. I will be out in my front yard tomorrow gathering up as much snow as I can to make a snow fort that me and my son can play in.
Oh, look at you.
And beat it up.
You old snow fort. And you probably got it like measured like perfectly, too, the snow fort. Yeah. It's architecturally correct.
And then my son, he doesn't know no better. See, he doesn't know how to make snowballs like Dad. So he'll like try and hit me in the face with a snowball. It's like, son, don't throw another one. You have no idea how to make a real snowball because the ones I make hurt. So, and I can make them pretty fast. But anyway, I got to ask Hypothetical Man a question. Is Hypothetical Man there today?
So Hypothetical Man could be summoned. What's the question?
Hypothetically, if Ben Simmons could average 25-7-7 without a jump shot, would that shut the haters up?
It would. And it's an either or situation. If you're not going to shoot the jumper and you can attack to get 25, I'm good. But he averaged 16 to 25 is a big leap.
I know he's got a lot to learn, but since everybody wants the shot, well, I don't think we're ever going to get the shot. So I think Ben needs to come up with another way. And I think, like I always see, when he attacks and he has those aerial crazy shots and all that, you know, he's amazing. But I just want to know how we can shut up the haters, because I don't hate Ben Simmons. I love Ben Simmons.
I don't think it's hate for Ben Simmons. I think it's wanting more. There's a difference. It's like we see the ability. We want more out of that ability.
I mean, it's just like our children. You know, you want to see everybody grow.
Exactly. In fact, it comes from love. I bet you people love the guy more than Embiid in this town. I bet right. you he's the number. You don't think so? I think on ability-wise, Tyrone, the people that look at the ability of both men would gravitate more to Ben Simmons than Joel Embiid.
I think Embiid gets more scrutiny at times, but they love him more. They really wrap their arms around him.
Because he does.
Personality.
Yeah, but then he ticks them off, too.
Yeah, they hate him, too.
The thing about Ben Simmons is that he does things that we haven't seen. He is like, you can't deny the athleticism that he provides.
No.
So it's like, why we like Jordan.
But I think love him more. I think the city loves Embiid more.
Really?
Absolutely.
As a player.
Yeah.
So you're telling me that the majority of people in this city would say, okay, the god of basketball's come down, you got to move one of them. You're telling me that the town would say Ben instead of Embiid?
Yeah.
I disagree. We'll have to take an inventory over many shows for that.
Yeah, because, see, I don't want to do that, though. I don't want to be pitting them up against each other.
No, that's not the idea of it. It's like what I'm saying is the eyeballs of a basketball fan in this town are more taken by Ben Simmons' ability than Joel Embiid's.
That's where I disagree, because more people, they understand Embiid. No one understands a man who won't shoot a basketball. They can't understand it.
I get it, but then you see him go the length of the floor and get the kid to the basket, and you go, oh my God, we don't have that. I mean, we've never seen that. It's interesting that you like Embiid more than Ben.
Yeah, but that's because Ben's thing doesn't make sense to me.
You have a genuine affection for Embiid. I'm interested in that.
I think Embiid's game, I think he does a million things out there that he doesn't get credit for, especially on the defensive end. I think he's the best defensive big man. He's already one of the top five defensive big men I've ever seen. They ask him to close out at the three-point line.
He's one of the what? Top five big men you've ever seen?
Defensive big men I've ever seen.
A defensive big man.
I said defensive big man I've ever seen already at 25 years old. They asked this guy to do a lot on defense. A lot. Much more than Shaq ever had to do. Something they never. Much more than anyone Barkley ever played with. That's part of the reason why I get mad at those guys, because they only look at offense. This guy is the anchor for that defense. Now, Ben has taken it up to an unbelievable level this year. But Embiid, from minute one, has been stellar on the defensive end. And even when he's not, when he's shooting threes and people are mad, on the defensive end, it all falls apart when he's out of the game.
I get it. So for me, I'm more of a ballet guy. The ballet guy, meaning I like the guy that has the ball in his hands and has to do something with the ball at all times, up and down the floor. That's why the Jordan type of player will always impress me more than the center will.
You've always been like
yes.
that. And I hope to get there with Ben, and I will get there with Ben the minute he shoots. I love the other parts of his game. And the defense that he plays, because he's playing defense now. I like defense on basketball. Mm-hmm. I think defense is what really wins.
The way you move on a court is very important to me. It's very important.
Yes, you love that.
I love the way you move on a court. All right, 610-632-0975. That's how you get in. You got an open line. You can take advantage right here on the Mike Missinelli Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
449, Mike Missanelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. There are people wanting me, because I did talk about it earlier. I decided I wasn't going to talk about it now, about Jim from Havertown. But since I brought it up.
Yeah.
Here's what the whole thing's about. He was on the air with us, and he called you by a different name.
Yeah.
Now, I originally thought that he was doing that because I think another caller had mistaken you, called you that. One caller had mistakenly called you Monroe.
That's Club Monroe.
And you created Club Monroe. Mm-hmm. But I also thought that somebody had also mistaken your name and called you something else, which is what Jim used.
Yeah.
A different name. So, not knowing the background, Rob Motti took a call from him over the weekend and addressed it with him.
Yeah.
And so what happened was he got all fired up because Rob accused him of him using the name for you as a racist name.
Yes, I believe that's what it was.
Okay. Well, if you believe that's what it was, at first I wasn't thinking that way. I thought he was actually riffing off the Monroe mistaken pronunciation of your name by another caller.
Right, and I'm good with that. I have a couple things to play in here if you want it to.
No, I understand what he did, because then he got all fired up and he said some vicious things on the sound offline.
Yeah.
Which case, now I'm out.
Gotcha.
I'm totally out. I wanted to clear it up because I was giving him the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
So he's done, basically.
And I was with you on clearing it up until Dylan brought it to my attention.
Yeah, and I wasn't aware of that until half hour ago.
Yeah, you had no way of knowing.
So his true colors showed up, basically. And so that's all I'm going to say about it. All right, let's go. Jamie in Quakertown. Jamie, you're on 97.5 Fanatic. Jamie.
Yo, Mike, what's up?
What's up, Jamie?
I got a question for you.
Yes, sir.
How does the MLB come down with their suspensions for PED use? Is it something in the Players Association, like in a contract that...
Yeah, it was negotiated and signed off on by both parties.
Okay, so... How comes, if we're talking about steroids, would you not put that in a class as a cheating edge or an illegal edge?
Yes.
Okay, so why can't Commissioner Manfred wrap his head around and come down with the same suspension as a PED user?
Because it's not collectively bargained. It would be an arbitrary suspension. The PEDs were agreed to by the Players Association, the punishments.
Okay.
There are two things. First of all, it would be fought by the Players Association as part of the collective bargaining, an arbitrary suspension. Second of all, to get the players to talk about what they were actually doing, he had to offer them immunity from suspensions.
That makes a little bit more sense, because I didn't understand how they could do that.
Yeah, you just can't arbitrarily impose a penalty without the Players Association union consenting to it. Otherwise, they're going to take that into court.
And there's no possible way the Players Association could meet, like, an urgent meeting.
Yeah, they could.
Because, I mean, I've never seen so much slander from the players about this.
You're right. The players are probably on board with suspensions, and the Players Association probably could agree to something like that, but it's all retroactive. You can't do it after the fact now. You can do it from this point on, but you won't be able to do it like right away because the act has already happened. You know what I'm saying?
No, I get you. I also have a bonus. I was going to call last week. I know you were talking about you don't think Girardi can manage 10 more wins.
No, not with a pitching staff like that.
Okay, I just want an argument, and my argument is, if you listen to Joe Girardi's introduction press conference and his first press conference in spring training, it was very, very visible that he was taking shots at the prior training staff and how Gabe managed the bullpen. And one of those things being, Girardi said he would never pitch somebody 3 days in a row.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, Gay pitched, I think, Hector twice 3 days in a row. And you don't tell me those two instances right there could swing two wins?
Yeah, we're talking about one pitcher, though. Listen, Girardi, I like him, and I think he's a better manager than Gabe Kapler. Girardi can't do anything about if Arrieta fails as a three. He can't do anything if Eflin fails as a four. He can't do anything if Velasquez and Pivetta fail as five. He can't do anything about a weak bullpen other than Hector Neris.
He could, but he can manage the bullpen.
Well, if you have no arms out there, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how you manage the bullpen. You have to get to Neris. Yeah, that means you have to be ahead. You have to have guys that hold a lead before you get to Neris. You just can't look at that. Well, Neris is misused twice, so that's two extra wins. We have to get to him. 5 o'clock hours ahead, Mike Mussinelli Show back after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.